Well, good morning, friends, and welcome to Good Morning Live. I am so glad that you're able to join me today as we continue to open the Word of God together and discover what it would say to us. And it's always an honor when we get to gather on these online sessions or live streams, whatever you want to put terms to it. But it's so good to gather together and open the Word of God. I certainly look forward to it. I hope you do as well. I want to remind you just right from the top that if you are listening or watching on a platform, that you can like, comment, share, subscribe, do all of those things that you can. We call it being a digital missionary. Just help other people know what's happening and where they can find inspiration in the morning. And let's continue to watch this online platform grow. It's been incredible to see what God's already been doing with it. It kind of surprised me when we started doing these. We started them as a part of our 21-day fast at the church, Hope City. I don't know if it was the beginning of this year or last year. I don't remember how long we've been doing this now, but it was only meant to last 21 days. And what began to happen is we begin to see so many people logging on, watching through Pioneer Television Network, that it just kind of surprised me. And to date, it's still one of the most watched live things that we have. So out of all of our live events that we do. But anyway, we're so glad that it's blessing people and helping them start their day right. My prayer for you today is that you would have a good day. This morning, I dropped Bob off at his daycare center. I know I always have a Bob story, but it just blessed me because he, in his daycare center, they have, of course, an outside playground, but they have these tubes, you know, that you climb through, kind of like they used to have at Chuck E. Cheese, you know, the plastic tubes and all that. Well, they reserve those tubes for, you know, if it's snowing or raining or something outside. So since he's been at that daycare, we pass that room every day. And every day he's like, Dad, I want to go in. Dad, I want to go in there. And there's nothing I can do about it. They only take him in there when the weather's bad. And so this morning when I walked outside and I saw it was raining, I went back in and I said, Bob, I think today's the day. And he yelled, tubes, tubes. So when he got to go into daycare today, we walked by and they were getting the room all set up for them to go into the tubes. So I hope you have a Bob in the tubes kind of day where you wake up full of faith and expectation, believing that today is going to be the best day of your life. I think when we approach our day like that, man, it changes everything. All right. Well, let's hop into the Word of God together. We started this series yesterday talking about healing and divine healing, and is healing God's will? And if you didn't get a chance to watch yesterday's, I would encourage you to go back because I believe Scripture teaches, and we laid some of that out yesterday, and we'll continue to do it this week. But that healing is God's will. We've never found a scripture where somebody came to Jesus and asked for healing and he said no. But anyone who came to faith in him believing always received divine healing. And so we believe that healing is God's will. And we're getting into, because I know right away, if you're like me, you're going to be saying, well, I've had people in my life that have loved God and trusted God that have passed. We're going to get into some of that later this week. Trust me, we're going to address that because that was a big part of my story and in faith and standing and believing God for healing. But what, so we're getting to that this week, but what I want to say about that is we never lower God's ability, or we never change God's will based on our experience, right? Like, so there could be a myriad of reasons why we don't see the will of God accomplished in our lives. And most of it would there's a lot of different reasons, and we'll jump into that. But what we have to do is we have to always come back to the Word of God, and we have to say, what did God say regarding the matter? Right? Like, this is absolute truth. It's not relative truth. It's not based on your experience. It's not based on your outcome. It's not based on what other people have said. Whenever I talk about this, I always think of Joel Osteen's father, and when he was battling cancer and in his hospital bed. Now, if you know the Osteen story, his wife, Dodie Osteen, was diagnosed with terminal cancer way back in the 70s, 80s, something like that. And they sent her home to die, and she stood on scripture. She stood on what God said and received a miracle. And she just passed away at a wonderful old age. She lived a full life just this past few months. But John, her husband, you know, same faith, believe in God, right? Laid in a hospital bed, had a tracksuit hung on the back of his door because he said, I'm getting up and I'm getting out of here and I'm going to run in that tracksuit again. And his story is he went home to glory, and eventually he did run right on the streets of gold this time. But what I loved about that story is we would want to change our faith and say, well, I have to make what God said match my experience. And that's never what we should do. We make our experience match what God said. And until our experience matches what God said, we stand on what God said, right? And if you're like John Osteen and you leave this planet still believing, come on, then when I get to heaven, I'm going to say, I believed in your word till my very last breath. I didn't give up. I didn't quit. I didn't back down. It didn't matter, you know, what my circumstances were. It didn't matter who I knew that passed. None of it changed. This is what the word of God says. So we have to build our lives off of what God said, not off of our experience. Are you with me on that? And I know on the surface, that's like, well, I don't know about that. But listen, the moment you start trying to make, and I'm come outside of divine healing for a second. The moment you start trying to make the word of God match your world, you have now limited to the word of God and made it useless, right? It was never sent to build up our world. It was sent to become our world. It was sent to transform our reality. It was sent for us to stand on and believe in and build our life upon. It's the rock on which we stand. It's the word of God. So our culture says, well, you know, we're trying to find loopholes and say, well, this is what we feel, and this is who we are, and this is, you know, so let's find something in here to try to affirm or try to persuade our reasoning. And the moment you do that, you have lost the power of the gospel. We don't change the gospel to fit our narrative. We make our narrative fit the gospel. So anyway, that's a total side rambling on me today. But because, you know, that principle, it just has to be the cornerstone of your world. I don't care if we're talking about divine health. I don't care if we're talking about money. I don't care if we're talking about forgiveness, salvation, what sin is and what sin isn't. There will always be a temptation from the adversary to, and that's exactly what he did to Jesus, right? He came to Jesus and said, well, if you're really the Son of God, go ahead and turn this rock into bread. What did Jesus have to respond? It is written. It is written. It is written. It's one of the most repeated phrases of Jesus' entire earthly ministry was, it is written, or have you not read? Have you not read? It is written. What was he saying? Is we're not basing the word of God off of what we see, what we experience. We're basing it off of what is written, what is said. Right. So even when Jesus he was tempted by the devil, he came back with and said, it is written that man should not live by bread alone. So, of course, there was a temptation of Jesus. So he was tempted. There was a temptation there to twist what the word of God said, twist what the word of God meant, to fill the narrative of what he was feeling and experiencing at that time, which was incredible hunger. Right. So yeah, it would have been easy to be like, yeah, I don't know. There goes those TVs again. That's been happening recently, but we're going to keep scrolling through it. But anyway, so we have to be careful that we're never changing what the word of God said, what his word says, but we base our stand on the word of God. So again, that applies in every aspect of life. It applies to finance. It applies to whatever you would be going through. So we're going to continue on. I know I just spent all this time talking about that, but realizing that healing is not only God's will, right? We talked about that yesterday, but it has already been purchased and provided at the cross. Healing is not just God's will, but it's already been paid for. Everything you need was bought and paid for at Calvary, right? The cross is that central place of victory. And that's, again, I preach this all the time, but it's so interesting. We will look to the cross for our eternity. That's where salvation was bought. That's where our eternity happened. We will look to the cross for forgiveness, right? When we've sinned and we've messed up, we say, well, the cross provided forgiveness. But it wasn't just a place of salvation. It was a place of healing, deliverance, wholeness. It was the full package. The cross was meant to restore us back. It was meant to break the curse that was given in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned. It was meant to break, and it not just meant, it did, to break the back of that curse and restore us back to divine relationship, back to how it was prior to the Garden of Eden. Why? Even in the garden, men were not designed ever to die. And why? Through the cross, now our physical bodies will change, but we live for eternity with God, and eventually he resurrects our physical bodies. That's why it says, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, there we go. Now we got a desert behind us, whatever. So again, the cross is that central place, not just for forgiveness, not just for salvation, but for healing and deliverance and wholeness, right? So to not go to the cross with everything that we need, it's, that would be like if you had a car that you paid off, but this dealership keeps trying to bill you monthly, right? Like, I would be calling them up and saying, listen, I got proof. I have the title in hand. This thing has been bought and paid for. I'm not paying you another cent. The cross is heaven's receipt, right? We have the title in hand that it's been paid for. The cross paid for it. I want to read to you from Isaiah 53 and in verse 5, and it says this. I'll start with verse 4. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Listen here. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. We are healed. I love that because it shows it in a definite sense of we are healed. Let me read this to you in 1 Peter 2:24. And it says, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we also being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness. By his wounds you were healed. There again, it puts in that past tense, you were healed. You were healed. Just say that to yourself all day. You were healed. And if you were healed, therefore you are healed. Why? Because were is a past tense. We find that there in 1 Peter, by his stripes, you were healed. It means it's already done. It's already settled. It was already provided at the cross. The payment has already been made. Come on, the cross was that victory parade over sin, over sickness, over disease, over Satan, letting Satan know that, come on, the cross is our victory, and by it we were healed. That's why I said yesterday that, you know, divine healing isn't something that we come into and say, well, you know, if it would be God's will. Well, if God didn't want to, then he shouldn't have. Because it's not like when we get a sickness, God has to go back to the cross. No, he already did it. He already paid it. He already provided it. So come on, you need to start talking to yourself. You were healed. You were healed. You were healed. Well, Pastor, I still got pain in my side. You were healed. Well, Pastor, I still have this doctor's report. You were healed. You were healed. So you keep declaring. We talked Sunday about prophesying over your situation. You keep declaring. You keep prophesying. You keep standing. You keep speaking. You keep telling your body. You come into alignment with what God died to give us on the cross. All right, and you balance that out with right activity. We talked about that yesterday. We don't claim divine healing and then live however we want, just as we wouldn't claim forgiveness and salvation and then choose to go live however we want and think that consequences don't apply. Right? You live unhealthy, you're going to reap. A man, the Bible says, God is not mocked. What a man sows, he will reap. So you got to put out action to your faith, right? But that's what I want you to see. Is healing is provided at the cross. The cross provides complete redemption. Sin and sickness entered together in the fall. But salvation was that point salvation and healing were provided together at the cross. So if you believe he forgives your sin, then you must believe that he heals your body. Why? Because it was a package deal provided at the cross. We just read two verses of scriptures that say he bore our iniquity. He bore, you know, all of that. And he bore our disease and he bore our sickness. And by his stripes, we were healed. It did not separate forgiveness, salvation, and healing. It put it all as a part of a package deal provided at the cross. Another verse of scripture, Hebrews 12:24, says to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Now, if you go back to Cain and Abel, you remember that Abel's blood cried out for vengeance, but Jesus's blood cries out for mercy and forgiveness and healing. The blood has a present tense voice. It declares healing over you today. The blood of Jesus does not just cover sin. It provides healing. It provides healing. Why? It brings us back to the original state of man before the fall. So finally, let me say this. I know I've been on some bunny trails today. Healing is a covenant right. It's not a gamble. Covenant literally means what belongs to one person belongs to the other. Right? Scripture, we just read it, teaches us that Jesus took your sickness so that you could take his health. And listen, the cross was not partial redemption. It was a full exchange. He took your sin so that you could receive his righteousness. He took your sickness so that you could receive his health. He took your poverty so that you could receive his provision. He took your death sentence as a result of sin and gave you eternal life. Again, it's so funny that we will trust him with eternal life, which to me is bigger than healing, right? Like what happens when our bodies go into the ground, where does our soul? It's like we trust God with that because we know there's nothing we can do in the natural about that. But it's almost like when it comes to the lower things, like anxiety and fear and finance and healing, it's like, well, now I don't know. I don't know if God's really into that. You don't know if God's into that. Look at the ministry of Jesus. The primary thing that Jesus did was walk around and heal the sick, proving to the world that, listen, this is not a side fringe thing. This is the will of God. You might say, well, that was Jesus. Well, he went on to tell his disciples that you're going to do what I did, but even more. We see it in the early church where handkerchiefs and aprons were healing the sick. Peter and John going into the temple to a lame man and saying, get up and walk. And he did. Right? So it wasn't that, well, that was just for Jesus. No, he said to the early church, no, this is for you. You're going to do these things. So what is he saying? Healing is not a fringe benefit for the select. It is a part of the complete package, the part of the complete deal. Right? So just as we believe that he took our sin, just as we believe he took our guilt and our shame at the cross, and we trust him with our eternity, that's why the Bible says, forget not all his benefits. What benefits? The benefits provided at the cross. What am I saying? God cares about your body. He cares about your health. He cares about your finances. He cares about those things that the Bible says he perfects those things that concern us. Whatever's bothering you, whatever's concerning you, he cares about those things. So it's like, man, we can trust him with eternity, but when it comes to healing in my body, nah, that's too crazy. That's too far out there. Okay. To me, it seems like the lesser that when I close my eyes and leave this planet, that I'm going to go to a city whose foundation is God and walk on streets of gold and live in a mansion and worship around the throne with those 24 elders crying out, holy, 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 all day long. That I believe that there's a day, the Bible talks about, where he's coming to create a new heaven and earth, and we will rule and reign with him for eternity. I can believe all of that, right? But when it comes to what my body's doing, well, I don't know. Come on, I'm just trying to encourage you today, let you know that God cares. That God cares. And now again, like I preached on Sunday, it's a part of process. God could snap his fingers and some people get divine health and healing just like that. You're believing the Lord, you're standing in scripture and divine healing. But more often than not, we are walking in. Now, I'm not talking about somebody got a random report and, it's kind of just a side attack of the adversary and, you know, it was unexpected. Well, yeah, we believe that's an attack of the devil, and we fight against that. We stand against it. But I think more often than not, we end up where we are because of Sarah, my wife, always says that you are where you are because of the choices you made. Often we end up in poverty, not because God's not blessing us, but because we don't know how to steward his blessing and end up spending more than we should, right? Oftentimes we don't walk in divine health because we're not resting, we're not exercising, we're not eating right, we're doing everything we know we're not to do. And then we come to God and say, would you bless this mess? Would you heal this mess? And God says, I care and I want to bring healing to you, but I need you to understand how you got to where you are so that you never get there again. So just as we always say, I always say, don't pray for what you're not willing to pay for. Right? So I'm not going to pray for divine healing if I'm not willing to make adjustments in my life and turn a corner, go a different direction, change how things have been going. If I'm struggling in finances, am I participating in the kingdom currency by bringing my tithes and my offerings? If I'm not, then I got to fix it. Am I asking God to bless my finances, but I'm overspending and I don't have a budget and I don't know where my money's going? What am I asking God to do? Asking him to bless my mess without holding me to any level of accountability. The fact of the matter is what we do in the natural. Because listen, the Bible says that when he created Adam and Eve, he gave us dominion in the natural. We have dominion over the earth. We have dominion in our realm. We have dominion in our world. So that's why God says you have to pray. You have to ask me to get involved in your world. But sometimes we ask God to get involved in our world, but then we use our dominion and our right to work in exact opposition to what we're asking God to do. Like, God, restore my relationships. But you won't change your temper. And you keep being rude to people. You keep cutting people off. You keep being unwilling to forgive, but you're saying, God, bring me friends. Well, do you understand? You're like, unless you're willing to adjust what needs to be adjusted, you're working in opposition to the plan and purpose of God. So when it comes to divine healing, yes, there are those things that are just attacks of the adversary, a result of living in a fallen world, right? Like, our bodies live in a fallen world, right? So there are things that happen as a result of that. And when that does happen, and you know, there's all right, I've been doing everything I know to do. This is just out of left field. What am I going to do? I'm going to stand. I'm going to pray. I'm going to prophesy. I'm going to speak the word of God. I'm going to rebuke sickness. But if I can back up and say, you know what? I haven't been stewarding my health right. Then I have to say, Lord, if I'm believing you for divine healing, then I have to make adjustments where you're telling me to make adjustments. And then what do? We let natural healing. Why? Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. All creation testifies of who he is. you know, things that we get medicine from, and they, that can aid in our healing. Doctors have wisdom from God to aid in our healing. Doctors, all they do, all they know is what they have studied and found out about how God created the human body and in relation to the substances we have on earth, right? Like they have studied, well, if you take this plan and this thing and put it together and make this pill, it affects the human body that way. Like that's all part of God and his design. That's just man trying to catch up with the knowledge of God, right? And so we don't reject doctors. We don't reject medicine. We do all of that. We say, Lord, we're going to let all of that aid in our healing. But what we're not doing is we're not going to take a report of a doctor and say, well, that's the final word on the matter. No, we're going to come back to this book, which again, like I said in the beginning, is the authority over our lives, and say, what did this book say about it? Because that will frame my world. That will frame my world. And if I'm doing what I need to do in the natural, I'm going to trust God to do what he needs to do in the supernatural. I just really want to drive home that point, and I'll probably keep repeating it all of this week, is that let's not ask God to bless our mess. Let's say, Father, we repent from unhealthy living. We repent from, get Don Colbert's book on the health zone that we just did an interview on. He talks a lot in there about how even unforgiveness blocks healing, naturally healing in our body. Like there are so many things that we need to do and that we can do to aid healing in our lives. But we also stand and trust the word of God. Here's what I found is whatever you tolerate will never change. And many people will tolerate sickness as if it's just normal. And as long as you do that, it will dominate, right? But when you understand that we have been redeemed from the curse, that he bore our sickness, he bore our disease, he bore our iniquity, all on the cross, that by his stripes we were healed. Now when sickness comes knocking at our door, and I'm not saying you're not going to see symptoms of it, but what I'm saying is when you start to see the symptoms, you step up and you don't just say, well, this is normal, it is what it is. No, you step up and you say, no, that does not belong to me, and I don't receive that. I'm not going to tolerate it. And I'm going to keep standing on the word. And if I got to stand on the word for 40 years, then I'm going to stand on the word for 40 years. But what I will not do is I will not change this word to try to make it manifest or match my experience. Are you with me on that? You understand what I'm saying? So I'm not saying there's an exact formula. I'm not saying you're going to wake up, with a cold on a Thursday morning and tell it to leave. And then, you know, by 8:05 a.m., it's completely gone. It happens. Saying it don't happen, it happens, right? But sometimes we got to do those dues. Hey, how's my immune system? What have I been doing? Have I been resting? And then we get into this word of God and we rebuke this cold. We stand on his scriptures. We say, no, I don't receive this cold. I'm going to heal. This is coming out of me. I'm going to recover quicker than anybody's ever recovered. I'm going to stand. And when it comes to bigger things in your life, if you got to stand until your final day, listen, I'd rather stand in front of God and say, Lord, I stood on your word as you said it. And what happened and what didn't happen, that's on you. Versus standing in front of him and hearing him say, why didn't you trust me? Why didn't you believe me? I've been saying this, you know, as a pastor, one of the things that I have found is it's not a typically a factor of people coming in and you're saying, hey, you're believing God for too much. Bring it down a little bit. As a pastor, 90% of my job is to say, come on, elevate that faith. Come on, believe God for more. Believe God can do it. It's like our default is doubt. Our default is to be skeptics. Our default is to think that God doesn't care. Right? So that's why we come in as a pastor and as a church and we say, come on, believe him for, you can't believe him for too much. Why? Because he said, I'll do exceedingly above, beyond anything you could ever hope or imagine, right? So get your faith up, get believing. And if you've got to stand for 20 years believing, then you stand believing God. So let me give you real quick, just a few, three practical things that when it comes, if you're in a season where you're believing for healing in your body or a loved one's body, some things that you can do. Number one, take communion with healing in mind. We know that communion represents the body, Jesus's body that was broken for our healing, right? We receive the cup, the juice or the wine that is a representation of his blood that reminds us of his covenant rights, that his blood didn't just provide salvation. It provides healing. It provides forgiveness of sins. It's a whole package deal. So when you take communion, if you're struggling in sickness, I'd be taking communion every day with those things in mind. This is his body broken for my healing. This is his blood. What am I doing? I'm reminding myself that this is the body and the covenant. This is what was provided at the cross. I'm not trying to earn something. I'm receiving something that was already paid for. The second thing I do is I make bold declarations of the cross. Like I said earlier, I'd be walking around saying, by his stripes, I was healed. Because I was healed, therefore I am healed. I'd start saying, sickness, you are illegal in my body because Jesus paid the price. You have no right here. You have no dominion here. Jesus paid the price. I evict you in Jesus' name. I command every cell to come into alignment in Jesus' name. And then the third thing is our thoughts, our mental pictures have a lot to do with faith. What we begin to picture, come on, we begin to have confidence. If you picture yourself, I'm going to die from this, and I'm going to be, you know, and have this for the rest of my life. And what am I going to look like when I'm, you know, older, if I even survive with this thing? No, when you begin to picture your sickness laid on Jesus at the cross, like picture Jesus on the cross and your sickness being laid on his shoulders. See yourself walking away healed. Begin to create those mental pictures. Come on, when the enemy's coming in telling you you're not going to live, you're going to die. No, you picture yourself 80, 90 years old with your grandbabies around you. And you declare, I will live and not die, like David said, to declare the works of the Lord. Now, again, outside of Jesus coming back, we're all going to leave this planet at some point. Right? So I'm not saying, well, you start doing this, you're going to live forever. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you won't leave this planet one day sooner than God has ordained. Now, he knows the number of our days, but what I'm saying is when he calls me, I'm going because he told me to come home, not because sickness and a part of the curse invaded my body and took me out early. Come on. Anybody with me this morning in the room? So in conclusion, healing is not futuristic. It is finished. You were healed. The cross is the eternal receipt of your healing. Well, I don't know if I'm healed. You got a receipt for it. You've got a cross for that. You have his blood and his body for that. Well, how do I know God wants me healed? You have his body. You have his blood. You have the cross. That's how I know. Because again, if he didn't want to, he shouldn't have. He shouldn't have said that by these stripes, you are healed, right? If he didn't want that, he should have just stopped and said, hey guys, no need to whip my back. I'm not going to provide healing. I'm not going to break my body for them. It would have been pretty clear, right? But that's not what he did and that's not what he said. And remember, you don't have to beg God for healing. You just receive it by faith. You receive it by faith. It's finished. It's done. It's already been provided for. Now we just receive it the same way that salvation and forgiveness has been provided by the cross, and you receive it by faith through the confession of your mouth that I am saved, is the same way you receive healing, breakthrough, deliverance. By faith, you receive it, and that pulls it out, if you will, of that account and says it applies now to my life. So, Tricilla, I see you're asking for prayer. And so we pray for you. Esther's asking for prayer this morning for healing. So let's pray. I'm going to pray right now. And for anyone who's posted that they're needing healing, and if you don't see them, because I see the comments from multiple platforms, but some different people putting in for prayers for healing this morning. So let's just, as an online community right now, let's just pray and for divine healing. So Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we lift up Esther. We lift up Priscilla, we lift up every person who's listening and watching right now who needs divine healing in their body. Lord, we know that we don't have to beg or we don't have to plead. We just come to the cross, to the foot of the cross, and we say thank you for providing healing as a part of this package. Father, we thank you that you died and you broke your body and you bled so that we could be restored, that we could be healed. You took the stripes on your back so that we could walk in divine healing and health in this life. David said, I would have despaired unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. So yes, we know healing comes when we get to heaven, but Lord, it's also for now. It's also for now. So Father, we thank you for that. So I speak healing over every person who needs it right now, over their body, over their mind, over every joint, over every ligament, over every cell, over every fear, over every anxiety. We speak healing and wholeness in Jesus' mighty name. We will settle for nothing less. Now, Father, if there are things that we need to adjust in our world that has open the door in the way of what we have sown into bad health, what we have sown and how we've been living, then Lord, speak that to us and we will participate. We will help walk out these answered prayers by adjusting how we're living. But Lord, we ask you to do what only you can do, and that's heal our bodies. Heal our bodies in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you for it. Amen and amen and amen and amen. So when you go out your day today and you're going through your world, I just want you to remember, you keep telling yourself you were healed, but there's pain. You were healed, but I still feel it. You were healed. The doctor says it hasn't changed. You were healed. And we trust God in faith in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, thanks for being on with me today. It has been an honor and a pleasure. As always, I'll be back with you tomorrow as we keep pushing back this powers of darkness and keep declaring the word of God in your world. Remember, God loves you. He's not mad at you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.